Welcome again to our program. We continue in the book of Judges. In our last program, it looked like things were going pretty good for God's people. They were conquering one nation after another. However, we find the word but 74 times in the book of Judges. We'll be looking at it. Stay tuned. As we look at these very interesting stories that we have recorded here in the book of Judges, we need to realize and keep in mind that the Bible says these things happen unto them, but they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We don't want to be studying this book just to get some more head knowledge of what went on a few thousand years ago, but we want to look at it that we might be admonished concerning the same things happening today. And so, as we have mentioned this message in song many times before, I like it because it's a tremendous prayer that we need to be praying today. Lord, teach me thy will.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray.
Said things were looking good on the surface, but as we take a closer look in Judges chapter 1, we find this word but over and over again. Verse 19 says, "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Then in verse 21 we read, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin. And then in verse number 25 we read, and when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Then concerning the Canaanites, we read in Judges 1 and 27, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. 29, but the Canaanites dwelt in Jazer among them. And then in verse 30, but the Canaanites dwelt among them. And in verse 32, but the Ashdodites dwelt among the Canaanites, and they did not drive them out. And then in verse 33, but he dwelt among the Canaanites. And then again in verse 35, he says things looked well, but the Amorites were there. Now, in Judges 1 and verse number 2, God says, ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Why? Why have ye done this? I think that's a sensible question to be asked. Jeremiah 2:36 put it this way, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Why? Why don't you just listen to God? Well, we mentioned first of all the chariots, verse number 19, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had iron chariots. Iron chariots? Joshua 17 verse 18 says here concerning his direction to these same people when they would go into the promised land, thou shalt drive out the Canaanites though they have iron chariots and though they be strong. He's telling them they're going to be able to do this if they'll go with God's covenant with them. Of course they didn't. Concerning the Jebusites in verse 21, we read the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt with them. Well, in Joshua 17 and 18 says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out the Jebusites and seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Notice it's past tense here, like Joshua saying, all right, when you go in there, God has already cast them out. All you have to do is trust him, believe him, and he's cast them out. Oh no, it says the Jebusites dwelt among them because they didn't trust God. Then we read the story where it says they let this man go in verse number 25 of Judges chapter 1. What happened here, it says, and when he showed them the entrance of the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Now, go back to verse 24. It says, and the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance to the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man unto and all his family. Well, what did he do? He went and joined up with the Hittites, came back and gave Israel a whole lot of trouble. They shouldn't have let him go. They were commanded not to let any of them go. Well, someone might say they let Rahab go. Well, the difference there is we find in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Rahab the harlot perished not because she believed. She did not line up with those that did not believe. This other fellow, he didn't believe anything. He came back and became their enemy. But they let the man go. The Canaanites in Deuteronomy 7 and 1, the Lord hath cast out the Canaanites, it says here. That's way before it even happened. Joshua is saying, go on in, take the land. God has already cast them out. If you'll just trust them, it's already done. Joshua said, well, okay, it's going to happen if you don't listen to God. He said in Joshua 23:11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God, else if ye do in any wise go back, if you go back, he says in verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. They shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until ye perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. No more. He said, it comes to the place. If you won't listen, God's not going to help you anymore. Joshua 23:16 says, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. And so it is very plain here that the problem is not what they were doing. They were conquering one nation after another. It was what they were not doing. There's 8 references in chapter 1 alone that says they did not drive them out. There's 6 references that said they were mingling with the enemy. The problem with our so-called fundamentalism today is not what's being preached, it's what is not being preached. Why is it not being preached? Well, as we said in a previous series, because we're busy choosing friends rather than choosing the truth, choosing friends rather than choosing truth, because the truth is too expensive.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy hand.